السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، Verily all praise and glory is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is due to Him and none other. We praise Him, we seek His forgiveness, and we ask Him for His mercy. And we testify and we state that there is no God or deity worthy of any type of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the servant and final messenger. O ye who believe, fear Allah the fear that He is most deserving of you, and do not die unless you are in the state of al-Islam. And as to what follows, before I begin my discussion with you today, I just wish to remind you of our duty as Muslims in upholding the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this reminder is that I do not ever wish to be in the company of bukhala, of people who are stingy. Meaning, I do not wish to be in the company of people who, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned, they don't praise him and send peace and blessings upon him. For this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the authentic hadith he says, the most stingy of mankind is he, when I am mentioned, does not say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also in an authentic hadith narrated by Imam al-Hakim, which is authenticated by Shaykh al-Albani hafidahullah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam climbed his minbar as he was about to deliver salat al-jum'ah, a khutbah, and upon climbing the first step, فَقَلْ عَتَبَةَ الْأُولَى قَالَ آمِينَ. He said, آمِينَ. And then the second step, and he said, آمِينَ. And the third step, آمِينَ. And this is something the Sahaba were not accustomed to or used to. So after they asked him, Ya Rasulullah, why have you done this? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, as I climbed the first step, أَتَانِي جِبْرِيلٌ. Gabriel, the angel, came. فَقَالَ يَا مُحَمَّدٌ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ مَنْ أَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانُ وَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ فَأَبْعَدَهُ اللَّهُ. O Muhammad, Jibreel alayhi salam making his dua, may the one who lives to reach the month of Ramadan and does not earn Allah's forgiveness by doing good deeds, may he be distanced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet authenticated the dua by saying, Ameen. And then he climbed the second step, and Jibreel made a second dua and said, may he, the one who lives to have both of his parents living in old age, or one of his parents, and does not earn the Jannah, and in another riwayah, and does not free himself from the fire by doing righteous deeds, may he be distanced by Allah. فَقُلْتُ آمِينَ. So the Rasulullah ﷺ said آمِينَ. And then the third, and this is the shahid, the point of reference for you, the Rasulullah ﷺ climbed the third step, and Jibreel made a third and final dua, and he said, وَمَنْ ذُكِرْتَ عِنْدَهُ فَلَنْ يُصَلِّي عَلَيْهِ فَأَبْعَدَهُ اللَّهُ صلى الله عليه وسلم. May he, the one that you are remembered in front of, and does not send peace and blessings to you, may Allah distance him. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Ameen. So let us begin once again by introducing our discussion with you after sending peace and blessings upon Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. The topic that was chosen for me to discuss with you tonight is in regards to the Islamic identity. I actually do not like this term, identity, or Islamic identity, because I honestly feel as a Muslim who was born and raised in Toronto, in Canada, that Muslims do not really lack identity. They lack basic knowledge. And this is the source of a mix-up in our identity. Identity does not mean the kufi, the thawb, the hijab, the way you dress, or the way you talk, always saying, inshaAllah, assalamu alaykum, wa alaykum as-salam. This is not your identity. These are the rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have ordered you with. When you meet your brother, say assalamu alaykum. When you leave him, say assalamu alaykum. The Prophet ﷺ says, if two people greet each other and shake hands, and honestly say assalamu alaykum, grab it. This is a serious word. May Allah bring His peace to you. This is what you're saying. It's not hello, how are you doing, what's up. As-salamu alaykum, may Allah bring His peace to you. And you shake hands, the Prophet ﷺ says, when they let their hands go, all of their evil deeds are forgiven. So some things are not your identity. I wish to discuss with you today, in tackling this concept of Islamic identity, three points. And if we understand them, we will be clear about who we are as Muslims. First, anta abd. You are nothing more than a servant. Second, innaka satubtala. Since you are a servant of the most merciful, the most bountiful Allah, you shall be tested by Allah. And third, and finally, masirana al-jannah. My place and your place, our final outcome, as Muslims who say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah is the Jannah. And this is our Islamic identity. Anta abd. You, Muslim man, woman, you are a servant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you for one reason. And it's the same as asking, what is the purpose of life? Why are you created? Why are you sitting in front of you here today? Why are you on this earth? This question, what is the purpose of life, is the same question as saying, why must I worship Allah? It is the same question. And it is the same answer. Because Allah created you for the sole reason, أن تعبد الله ولا تشرك به شيئا. You are a servant of Allah. Listen to the Most Merciful. He tells you in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I neither created jinn nor mankind except for the sole purpose and reason for them to worship me. He says in Surah Al-Mulk, تبارك الذي بيده الملك, he says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. It is He, Allah, who created death and then life, and put you on this earth as a test for you to show Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the most obedient of you to Him. So this is why you are here, to worship Allah, and to ask. And in worshiping Allah, you must possess certain qualities. And this is something that I wish a Muslim man and woman understands and memorizes and instills in his heart. Many of us do not know what worshiping Allah means. To worship Allah, you must possess three characteristics that are unified together. First, you must love Allah. Second, you must fear Allah. And third, you must have hope in Allah's mercy. And these three things must be together. So you must love Allah. And it's not enough to love Allah and not fear Him, because then you are not worshipping Him. How do I explain this? A Muslim man, and we have heard it and seen it with our own ears and eyes, he will not pray Salatul Jumu'ah. He's sitting at work, sitting at his desk, maybe at his lunch break. And he knows that Salatul Jumu'ah is fard, compulsory. Nothing can hold him back except a religious excuse. And working is not one of them. And yet you come and tell him, why aren't you praying Jumu'ah? And he answers you by saying, I love Allah and it's enough. I love Allah here. You know, I'm doing my best. I love Allah. أنت كذاب. You're a liar. You love Allah here, but your actions do not perform this love? Another question. Another point. A Muslim woman now. She is walking in the street as a billboard. She is a sign to all mankind. When she is not covered in Islamic clothes. So for example, she's walking in the school or in the university or wherever. Not dressed Islamically. And she may be wearing alluring clothes. Not clothes that's modest, although it's not hijab. She's wearing clothes so that a man will look. Got herself all perfumed. She sat in front of the mirror maybe 45 minutes putting the makeup, attaching the nails, clipping in the earrings, more than one, five, six, seven in one ear. And she comes, and she walks in her way, and all the men are looking. And then you ask her, Ya Ukhti, my sister, my mother, my sister in Islam, my foundation, you are the stepping stone of the Muslim community. Why aren't you wearing hijab? I love Allah. I just... How could you love Allah when it is not shown? So therefore she doesn't fear Allah. So she is a walking billboard to all mankind that at this moment, I am in direct disobedience of the orders of Allah. That's what it is. Right or wrong, everyone who sees her knows at that moment she's disobeying Allah. She's not even trying to hide it. The Muslim man skips Jumu'ah, direct billboard to all mankind. I am now at this moment in Allah's disobedience, knowingly, not hiding. And then they say, I love Allah. You love Allah, mashallah. But your love must be proved. This is why the ulama, they explain ayatul imtihan, the verse which the scholars have named the text, where Allah tests mankind. Tell them, Ya Muhammad, as in Surah Al Imran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونَ. Say, O Muhammad, if you truly love Allah, then show it by following me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's not enough just to say, I love Allah. And it's also not enough just to fear Allah. Because if a person fears Allah only and has no hope that Allah will be merciful to him and forgive his deeds and sins, no matter how high they reach, as long as he does not disbelieve and take partners with Allah, if a Muslim loses this hope, then he is not worshipping Allah. Why? Because he has lost and has despaired in the mercy of Allah. When Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي, tell them, O Muhammad, Allah calls out to you, my servant. What is it to be a servant? قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. O my servant, who have transgressed against their own souls, have committed evil deeds, unfathomable deeds. Do not despair in the mercy of Allah. Allah forgives all deeds, all evil, as long as you do not take partners in worship with Him. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Surely Allah is the most merciful, most forgiving. So you cannot just be fearing Allah. And at the same time, you cannot just hope, oh, it's okay, Allah will forgive me. You cannot just have hope without fear and love of Allah. For if you hope in Allah, you lose your recognition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you lose the sight in recognizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall punish the disobedient. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, نَبِّئْ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ. Proclaim to them, O Muhammad, that surely my punishment, my mercy, it's all encompassing. I'm the most merciful, the most forgiving. But equally tell them that I am the most severe in punishment and torment. Those who disobey blatantly the orders of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So therefore, when you worship Allah, knowing now, you know now, and to ask, you are placed on this earth to worship Allah. And in worshiping Allah, you must have these three characteristic ingredients. Love Him, fear Him, and hope in His mercy all together. And as you do this, you must fulfill two requirements. Al-ibadah, laha ruknayn ithnayn. Two requirements that if your worship does not fulfill either one, all of what you have done is not accepted by Allah. Imagine, a person will stand all night, fast all day, and will not receive a single blessing from Allah. The two requirements are ikhlas and sunnah. Sincerity and sunnah. And this is extremely important in recognizing your Muslim identity. That you only worship Allah. And when you worship or do any act of worship, it is solely for Him. Do you know what worship is? Who knows the definition of ibadah? Al-ibadah, ismun jami' li kulli ma yuhibbuhu Allah. من الأقوال والأفعال الظاهرة والباطنة. In terminology, worship is anything that you do that pleases Allah. Whether it's a statement you make or an action you perform. Hidden inside you, this dua, something only you do, believing in Allah, His angel, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Rububiyyah, Al-Asma' al-Sifat, knowing this, and also actions that you do that other people see you. Prayer, Hajj, Umrah. So this is ibadah. Or anything you do that pleases Allah, whether an action or a statement or a belief inside that you have. But it must fulfill these two requirements. Ikhlas, sincerity of intention, and sunnah. And ikhlas is extremely important. Listen to this frightening hadith. And I say frightening because to me, it is a hadith that should make us cry. Tremble. It is narrated from the statement of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, narrated in the Sahih al-Imam Muslim and also Sunan al-Imam al-Nasa'i and many of the other books of hadith. Abi Hurairah says, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Inna awwal an-nas yuqza alayhi yawm al-qiyamah rajulun istushrik. The first person that will be decided by Allah that he is fitting to be from the people of the fire is a martyr who fought jihad in Allah's cause. Let me repeat it. The person who will be first decided by Allah to be thrown in the fire and punished is a person who did jihad. Istushhid. Not just fought, but then was martyred in the battlefield. The Prophet continues with the hadith, he says, فَأُتِيَ بِهِ Allah shall bring him in front of mankind on the Day of Judgment. فَعَرَّفَهُ نِعَمَهُ فَعَرَفَهَا Allah shall make clear to him and show him all of his mercy. Allah gives you and I mercies that you may not even understand. Things that when Allah on the Day of Judgment shall tell you, look at all that I have blessed you with. All of my mercy. All of the ease that you have been given. فَعَرَّفَهُ نِعَمَهُ فَعَرَفَهَا And then this man who died as a martyr shall recognize Allah's mercy to him and blessing. فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ فَمَا عَمِلْتَ فِيهَا Allah shall question him, What did you do with all that I have given you? فَيَقُولُ قَاتَلْتُ فِي سَبِيلِكَ حَتَّى اسْتُشْهِدْ I set out in your path and fought in your cause until I met martyrdom. For you. So Allah will answer him, كذا, you're a liar. إِنَّكَ قَاتَلْتَ لِيُقَالَ هُوَ جَرِيمٌ You fought so that people will say this man is courageous. فَقَدْ قِيلْ Mankind said it to you. This is your reward. فَأُمِرَ بِهِ Allah shall order that he be taken. فَسُحِبَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ حَتَّى أُلْقِيَ فِي النَّارِ It will be ordered that he be dragged on his face until he is thrown in the fire. وَرَجُلْ The second person whom Allah shall decide is deemed to be worthy of the fire. رَجُلٌ تَعَلَّمَ الْعِلْمَ وَعَلَّمَ وَقَرَأَ الْقُرْآنِ A man who acquired immense knowledge and taught it. Didn't hide it. He acquired all of the knowledge. Memorized the books, the Qur'an. وَقَرَأَ الْقُرْآنِ Memorized the Qur'an. فَأُتِيَ بِهِ Allah shall bring them. فَعَرَّفَهُ نِعَمَهُ Show them His blessings. فَعَرَفَهَا Shall know that Allah blessed him with knowledge. And Allah shall say to him, فَمَا عَمِلْتَ فِيهَا What have you done? And this person shall say, فَعَلَّمْتُ الْعِلْمُ وَعَلَّمْتُ I acquired knowledge and taught it. وَقَرَأْتُ فِيكَ الْقُرْآنِ And I recited the Qur'an for your pleasure, O Allah. كَذَبْتُ You are lying. إِنَّكَ تَعَلَّمْتَ لِيُقَالَ عَالِمًا You learn so that people will say you're a alim. This is the Shaykh. This is the Mawlana. This is the Imam. فَقَصْتِ And it was said to you. وَقَرَأْتُ لِيُقَالَ قَارِئًا And you read the Qur'an so that people say, MashaAllah. What a smooth voice. Listen to the tajweed. MashaAllah. And it was said to you, فَأُمِرَ بِهِ Dragged, thrown in the fire. وَرَجُلْ The third one, أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعَ أَنْوَاعِ الْمَالِ وَأَصْنَافِهِ A man, Allah gave all of the different types of wealth. Not just wealth, but all of the different types. فَأُتِيَ بِهِ He shall be brought, فَعُرِفْتُ فَعَرَّفَهُ نِعَمَةً Shown the mercies and blessings of Allah to him, فَعَرَفَهَا Shall recognize it. فَمَا عَمِلْتَ فِيهَا What have you done with all that I have given you? The man shall say, مَا تَرَكْتُ سَبِيلًا تُحِبُّ أَن يُنْفَقَ فِيهِ إِلَّا أَنْفَقْتَ فِيهِ Never did I see something that you wish for me to give in charity in, except I did. قَالَ كَذَبْتُ You lie. إِنَّكَ أَنْفَقْتَ لِيُقَالَ جَوَادٍ You gave so that people say, He is generous. فَقَدْ قِيلَ And it was said to you, فَأُمِرَ بِهِ فَسُحِبَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ He will be ordered to be placed in the fire. A serious hadith, my brothers and sisters. And listen to this hadith narrated by Imam al-Nasa'i. And the sanad of the hadith is Hassan, as the Shaykh al-Albani points out, in a tarheeb wa tarheeb, sahih al-tarheeb. The Prophet ﷺ was sitting, and he heard Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, sitting with some of the Sahaba, speaking about al-Masih al-Dajjal, the one-eyed liar, the Antichrist, who Isa alayhi salam shall descend and put an end to his reign on this earth, the 40 days that he shall be here. The Rasul describes this Masih al-Dajjal in other ahadith as the biggest fitna to mankind. Yet, he comes to his Sahaba and he says, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِمَا هُوَ أَخْوَفُ عَلَيْكُمْ عِنْدِي مِنَ الْمَسِيحِ الدَّجَّالِ Should I not tell you what I, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fear for you more than I fear the Antichrist for you? He said, بَلَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ What is it that you fear more than the Antichrist, the one-eyed liar, for us? He told them, أَشْرْكُ الْخَفِيْ It is to commit shirk. You know what shirk is? Taking partners with Allah that's hidden. And shirk is of two types. Shirkun akbar, major shirk where you take partners with Allah in worship and ibadah. Wa shirkun asghar, which is a riyah, showing people your actions, hoping for them to praise. The Rasul says, Ashirkul khatiyya, I fear for you more. Hidden shirk. It is, the Prophet describes it, an yaquma rajul. That a man stands up. فَيُزَيِّنُ صَلَاتَهُ لِمَا يَرَى مِن نَظَرِ الرَّجُلِ إِلَيْهِ But the man, when he stands to pray, he will pray as if you have never seen him praying before. Because he notices that people are looking at him. So he stands up straight, he doesn't slouch, no yawning, no moving around, he's not pulling his thawb. Praying to perfect his prayer, but not for Allah. Because he notices that a person is looking at him. In another hadith, the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, إِنَّ أَخْوَفَ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ الشِّرْكُ الْأَصْفَرِ The most thing that I fear for you is the minor form of shirk. They said, what is this, Ya Rasulullah? قَالَ الرِّيَاءُ Do you know what a riyā is? A riyā مُشْتَقٌ مِنَ الرُّؤْيَا It's derived from the word رُؤْيَا, meaning that to see something. In مُصْطَلَح, in the مُصْطَلَح of the ulama of usul, الرِّيَاء هو إظهار العبادة لكي يراه الناس It is to do a worship so that mankind will look at it and praise it. The Prophet ﷺ described this person who performed الرياء. They said, what is this رياء يا رسول الله? What is this punishment? he described to them sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying that this mura'i, when he comes in the day of judgment, Allah shall say to him, يقول الله يوم القيامة له اذهب إلى من كنت ترائي فانظر هل تجد عندهم من جزاء. Go to the people that you used to try to please by worshipping me and see if they shall reward you on this day of judgment. In an authentic hadith narrated by Imam Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described a debate between a servant and Allah the Most High. He began by laughing. The Rasul ﷺ sitting amongst the Sahaba began to laugh. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, why are you laughing? After he asked them, why don't you ask me why I laugh? He said, أَضْحَقُ مِن مُجَادَلَةِ الْعَبْدِ لِرَبِّهِ. I laugh and I am amused at how a person will try to debate with Allah. The Sahaba confused and perplexed, how can we debate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, يَجِئُ الْعَبْدِ. This person, when Allah is deciding his fate, Jannah or fire, he shall say to Allah, Ya Rabb, alam tu'jirni min al-dhulm. Have you not guaranteed that I will not be oppressed? فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ بَلَى. Yes, you are guaranteed. لَا ظُلْمَ الْيَوْمِ. No oppression in the day of judgment. So this person in his arrogance shall say to Allah, إِذَنْ فَإِنِّي لَا أَقْبَلُ شَهَادَةَ أَحَدٍ. I do not accept the witness of anything or anyone against me. I don't accept the testimony of the angels who are writing everything down. I don't accept the testimony of another human being against me. Jinn, nothing. I only wish to testify against myself. So Allah shall seal his mouth. فَيَخْتِمُ اللَّهُ عَلَى فِيهِ. He shall be silent. فَيَأْمُرْ. Allah shall order his arms and his legs to testify against him. So this hand, if you'll say, on this day, I did such and such and such and such. And the next day I did such and such and such and such. And then the next day I did such and such and such. From your beginning to your end. And then your foot shall say, I did such and such and such and such. And Allah records this to us in Surah Yasin. فَالْيَوْمِ الْيَوْمِ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْتِبُونَ. On the day of judgment, we shall make their hands speak, and their feet bear witness against them about what they used to earn in disobeying Allah. So we have discussed with you, النَّكَعَبْ, you are a servant of the Most Merciful. And therefore when you are worshipping Allah, you must have ikhlas, and equally you must follow sunnah. If you were to have as much ikhlas as you could, and then try to worship Allah in a way that was not sunnah, it is rejected. So no one can come and say, for example, on Laylatul Qadr, pray 100 rak'ah. And in each rak'ah recite, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ 100 times, as we have read with our own eyes. People invent things, invent worship. So even if you stood with full ikhlas to worship Allah, but yet what you're doing is not sunnah, it is not accepted from you. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدْ. وَالْحَدِيث مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ, in that agreed upon hadith, whoever worships in a way that we have not ordered, have not sanctioned, have not shown, have not done, this worship is rejected back to him. It is not accepted by Allah. فَأَنْتَ عَدْ. So now in building your Islamic identity, you realize that you are sent here as a worshipper of Allah. Our second point of discussion, al-ibtila. You shall be put to test and trial. Do not think it's easy to be Muslim in our day today. For this is the stage of al-ghurba. We are back to the days of strangeness. People look at you as if you're strange. One of my beloved teachers and elders, I don't know if you have met him or have heard him speak, Sheikh Abdullah Hakim Quick. We were walking in the downtown, in the city core, in Toronto. And we're dressed in our nice thiyab, you know, mashallah, got our beards combed and our hats and our kufis, and we think we're dressed nice. You know, he's got his white turban. I don't know if you've seen the way Sheikh Abdullah Hakim, may Allah bless him, dresses. And we're walking, we're going to his van. And two men, subhanAllah, or what seemed to be men, I'm not sure. Maybe 40 earrings in each ear, two studs, something in his tongue, a few things hanging off his beard, his hair like blue, and he's got, one of them's got a girlfriend, wal'ayyadu billah, and they're dressed in grubby clothes. Like, if I was a disbeliever, I would never, ever consider even wearing one of the garments they had on, let alone all of them at the same time. And they're walking by us, and they look at us, and they just pause there and like, look at these people, as if they're looking at us in a degrading manner. And I turn to the sheikh and I said, subhanAllah, look at how they're dressed. Wallahi, if you were to put a rope, you could drag them like cattle from their nose. And we were amused, but this is the way it is. This is life now, living in the major city, at the very least. You seem strange. Your dress, your clothes are iron. But because it's not the norm, you are made fun of. SubhanAllah. And this is what the Rasulullah ﷺ predicted. بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبٌ Islam began as something strange. And it shall return to being strange. تَكُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَاءِ Glad tidings be to those who are strange. So these are the days we are living in today. You will be tested. In many different ways. You'll be tested in school. I give you a personal example. Actually, it's not something that's bad. It's something that I feel good about. I had an exam at the university. It's an elective course that I took at Forensic Science. And these courses based on psychology and biology and chemistry. And the way the course is, the exam, you have two exams, 40% and 40%. And I had Salatul Jumu'ah. And I was giving it at a masjid that I couldn't back out of, Masjid Tara. I couldn't phone them and say, I'm not coming, because there's lots of people, thousands of people for Jumu'ah. And it was too late for me to get out of the test and to get out of this. The test is at 2 p.m. And Jumu'ah starts 12:30. And it's on all the way the other end of the city. I finished Jumu'ah by 2. We prayed, got out of the masjid as quick as I could, 2 o'clock. Got in my car and I'm speeding. I'm flying. I reached the university 2:30. I have half an hour left for this test. And I sit down and it's 69 questions. I'll never forget it. 69 questions. And I'm sitting there and it's all multiple choice. And I sit and I do the first 21 questions. And every answer is A. Every answer is A, 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 A. The whole test. And I must have made a mistake. So I go back and I'm like, what's going on? The time expired. And I just decide everything's A. So I fill the whole test paper, A, 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 A. 69 A's. 2 weeks later, we get the printout of our exam mark. Actually, I checked, it was on the internet. I checked my exam mark and I got 100%. I only answered 21 questions. I got 100%. We come to the lecture and the professor says, we were doing the psychological component. And in psychology, people doubt themselves. This is what they were trying to teach us. That a person will always doubt himself. He goes, not a stitch, only one person. In the whole lecture, got everything aced. And it happens to be me who never actually did the test. So as a Muslim, you will be tested. I came to this professor and I told him, look, I got this and, you know, please give me a break. Let me have 10 more minutes. Just 10. At least let me finish half the test. He says, no. And this is just a quick example of knowing that just because the way you are, the way you dress, maybe he doesn't know me. I'm not actually a regular person who attends these lectures because I like to study on my own, do the reading. Especially for things like this, they have some pictures that I don't like to see. It's about forensic science. So he doesn't really know me, or what kind of student I am. So he was really adamant about that, the time. And alhamdulillah, Allah gives victory. So as you know, you shall be tested. Allah tells us in the Quran in the beginning of Surah Al-Ankabut, Alif Lam Mim. أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. Alif Lam Mim. Does mankind, do people actually think that they shall be left alone to say we believe without Allah testing their resolve in Him? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Surely we tested those who came before them. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. We tested those who came before them and we made it clear and known those who were truthful in belief and those who were liars and hypocrites. Look at the prophets of Allah. Let us look at Ulul Azm, Nuh, Noah. He came to his people lived for 950 years. Saying, La ilaha illallah, worship Allah. After 950 years, Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا أَمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Only few people accepted his da'wah, accepted Islam. One of his sons disbelieved. His wife disbelieved. 950 years calling to Allah. Until Nuh, and from this dua that is recorded in Surah Nuh, let it sink into you the pain that he must have felt. He said, وَقَالَ نُوحٌ. Allah tells us in the Quran, Nuh calls out to us, رَبِّ لَا تَذَرَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا. O Allah, do not leave a single disbeliever on the face of this earth. I've had enough. And Allah answered his dua, and the flood came upon the earth. Abraham, Abu al-Anbiya, كان أمة. Allah describes Abraham by himself as a whole nation in his belief and resolve in Allah. Look at his test. He came to his people, his father, his mother. قالوا حرقوه. Burn him, throw him in the fire. And they did. Throw him in the fire. وانصروا آلهتكم. And give victory to your false gods. Ibrahim tested again in his own children. He came to Ismail and he tells him, Ismail, and try to think what you would do. He comes to Ismail and he says, إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ. I see in a dream. Not Jibreel came down and told me that Allah ordered you. He said, I see in a dream that I am ordered to slaughter you. A father speaking to his son, that I am ordered in my dream to slaughter you. How did his son answer? قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ فَعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ. My father, do as you are ordered. Look at the resolve and belief. In a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that Ismail, as Ibrahim put him to the stone and covered his face, Ismail said, My father, يَا أَبَتِ, turn my face away from you. وَشُدَّ ثِيَابَ, and raise your clothing. Pick up your clothing. I do not wish my blood to touch your clothes so that you descend from this mountain and my mother sees my blood on your clothes and she feels despair. Look at his iman. فَلَمَّا كَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. And as Ibrahim put him down to slaughter him, نَادَيْنَاهُ أَنْ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. We called unto him, O Ibrahim, you have believed in what you were ordered in your dream. And in another surah, وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. We brought down a ram to be slaughtered in his place. The test from Allah, Moses, he came to the people, disbelieved by Fir'aun and disbelieved by the Jews themselves, those who he came to save. وَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ مِنْ قَوْمِ فِرْعَوْنَ أَتَذَرَ مُوسَى وَقَوْمُهُ يُفْسِدُونَ. People invent things, invent worship. So even if you stood with full ikhlas to worship Allah, but yet what you're doing is not sunnah, it is not accepted from you. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدْ. والحديث متفقٌ عليه, in that agreed upon hadith. Whoever worships in a way that we have not ordered, have not sanctioned, have not shown, have not done, this worship is rejected back to him. It is not accepted by Allah. فَأَنْتَ عَدْ. So now in building your Islamic identity, you realize that you are sent here as a worshipper of Allah. Our second point of discussion, al-ibtila. You shall be put to test and trial. Do not think it's easy to be Muslim in our day today. For this is the stage of al-ghurba. We are back to the days of strangeness. People look at you as if you're strange. One of my beloved teachers and elders, I don't know if you have met him or have heard him speak, Sheikh Abdullah Hakim Quick. We were walking in the downtown, in the city core, in Toronto. And we're dressed in our nice thiyab, you know, mashallah. Got our beards combed and our hats and our kufis. And we think we're dressed nice. You know, he's got his white turban. I don't know if you've seen the way Sheikh Abdullah Hakim, may Allah bless him, dresses. And we're walking, we're going to his van. And two men, subhanAllah, or what seem to be men, I'm not sure. Maybe 40 earrings in each ear, two studs, something in his tongue, a few things hanging off his beard, his hair like blue, and he's got, one of them's got a girlfriend, wal'ayyadu billah, and they're dressed in grubby clothes. Like, if I was a disbeliever, I would never, ever consider even wearing one of the garments they had on, let alone all of them at the same time. And they're walking by it, and they look at us, and they just pause there and like, look at these people, as if they're looking at us in a degrading manner. And I turn to the sheikh and I say, subhanAllah, look at how they're dressed. Wallahi, if you were to put a rope, you could drag them like cattle from their nose. And we were immune, but this is the way it is. This is life now, living in the major city, at the very least. You seem strange. You're dressed, your clothes are ironed. But because it's not the norm, you are made fun of. SubhanAllah. And this is what the Rasulullah ﷺ predicted. بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبٌ Islam began as something strange. And it shall return to being strange. فَقُوبَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهَ عَبْدًا إِسْتَلَامُ When Allah loves the servant of His,